I'd like to ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it begins on page 1105 of our pew Bibles. In just a moment, I'm going to read verses 26 through 29. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through 29. And that's on pages 1105 and 1106 of our pew Bibles. Now, because I'm only speaking for 10 minutes or so, I'd like to ask you to be especially careful in your listening. It's hard to say something worthwhile, at least it is for me, in 10 minutes to get to the point and get it across. And then, as some preachers say, land the plane all in 10 minutes. Now, you may want to pay careful attention because you don't believe I can preach for 10 minutes or so, and we'll see about that. And so in case we need the Lord's help, which we do, of course, I'd like for us to pray for both our sakes. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for bringing us here to this place at this time. I ask you to speak your very words to us, and that we will be your believing people, not unbelieving, and that our hope and faith in you will be expressed in our obedience to your word. In your name I pray, Jesus. Amen. Okay, start the clock. The topic and title of my brief sermon this morning is, if I can remember it, Not Many Noble, But All Called. Not Many Noble, But All Called. A brief meditation on service in the church. Now, as we ponder that title and topic, I ask you to prayerfully consider its personal implications for you in whatever time you have remaining on this earth in this place. But I also want you to ponder its implications for us as a congregation for the time we have remaining to represent Christ as Bethesda Church, however long that might be. Now, please listen carefully as I read 1 Corinthians 1, verses 26 through 29. For consider your calling, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world. To be clear, he's talking about us, you and I. Or you and me, I should say. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world, there we are again, to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. One might get the idea, because of the way we think and the way we talk about service or ministry in the church, that one must be special, specially anointed, specially called, specially gifted, or at least specially committed to serve God and his people in any significant way, or to even be useful in God's vineyard, or to be a fruitful branch growing from God's vine, who is Jesus Christ himself. And this is simply not true. The truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that none of us are chosen for salvation and none of us are called for service because of what we have to offer. The gospel truth is that we believe and we live and we serve only and always by God's grace alone in faith. That's true not only for salvation, but also for service. And this is true especially for those of us on platforms or behind pulpits, missionaries, preachers, pastors, worship leaders, and the like. Many are called, frankly, to bring God greater glory because we are so evidently not gifted except by the Holy Spirit. You see, not many of us are noble. It's also not true that we are too busy. In other words, we are not too busy to do the Lord's work. The reality is, we all do pretty much what we want or intend to do. The question we must keep asking is, do our priorities properly reflect the lordly presence of Jesus Christ? I'm going to repeat that question. Do our priorities properly reflect the lordly presence of Jesus Christ? Now, I do want to pause here to make clear that it may also be true that we're sick, or we're hurting, or we're grieving, or we might even be disqualified for a season. But it's only a season. We recover to serve again. If we belong to the Lord Jesus, if we've been born again, then we've been called to serve, all of us, without any exceptions. Now, thanks to the coronavirus, we're entering, or have entered, and we are now in the midst of a new and perhaps naturally occurring reset. A new season of life, of worship, of word and fellowship, of ministry and outreach here at Bethesda Church. And as I've mentioned before, I don't want, or I think I can speak for our leadership, we don't want to miss any of the opportunities the Lord Jesus is placing before us these days. So I'm asking each of us, along with our loved ones, of course, to increase our faith by considering where and how we might serve the Lord Jesus in the future that he's laying out before us. And to do so in this and in subsequent seasons. Now, we do have some immediate needs. One pressing need is for additional members on our missions team. We're down to just three now. But the overall point is that each of us should be serving, and we should be serving with a keen sense of calling, purpose, freedom, and joy. We have needs on our AV team. We have needs for our children's ministry team this fall. Neil needs not to be our treasurer, so we need a treasurer. Some of these places of service require formal membership here at Bethesda, but not all of them, so do come to see me about that. But back to the missions team. As many of you will know, we recently lost two key members of our missions team when Paul and Angie Evans moved to Abbotsford, British Columbia. As a result, we only have three members remaining, and I'm going to ask them to stand now. Patty Poirier is not here today. Oh, Patty Poirier is not here today. No. Everybody else stay seated. Patty Poirier is our chairperson, and she's been serving with our missions team for a number of years now. Our senior member is Eunice Hill. She's back here in the back corner, and she served in Pakistan for 42 years. There's a hint. And Carla McKay, who is back here on the back row of chairs, and she's been serving with us now for the last 2 years, and she served as a missionary to the First Nations people here in Canada for 25 years. So this is a great team to serve with, well experienced, and we love the work that we are able to do together. I serve as an advisor to our missions team, as I do all the ministry teams, but three or even four of us is not enough to do our work, which is to lead in promoting missions within our congregation, support our missionaries, and representing our church to various missions agencies. If that's kind of the broad brush stroke of what we do and what our purpose is. Now, when Bethesda was established in July 1944, our brothers and sisters committed 50% of all revenues to global missions. Think about that for a second. 50% of all revenues went to global missions in Bethesda's first couple of decades, I think. Still today, we commit about 30% of our total revenue to support 16 current missionary units, as they say, missionary units. That's either an individual or a family or a married couple. And they're all over the world, and here they are. Now, if you hear us refer to our missionary wall, this is it, just out there in the main foyer. And we've put it there to remind us to pray for and to support them. however we can, wherever they are in the world. Now, I'm going to try to, I can't do it, I can't see them well enough. I was going to call them out, and then we could pray for them at the end, but I'm not going to do that. But here they are, and please do take a moment to look over the missionary wall and to read each one of these, because these represent choice folks that the Lord has called out, and they have responded to his call in obedient faith, and they are depending upon us to pray for them and to support them financially and in other ways as well. So today, this morning, God in Christ Jesus may be calling you to serve him in a new and different way. He may be calling you to join the work of our missions team, see Patty Poye, or our children's ministry team, see Pastor Yuri, or to serve as our beloved treasurer, please, please, see Neil Creighton. Better yet, see Kate. She'll give you all the reasons why Neil should not be our treasurer any longer than he has to be. You may be called to serve in another way, but I know this, if you've been bought by the blood of Christ and reborn by the Spirit, you are called to serve in the body that the Lord has placed you, and so am I. So let's do our part in his work. Let's do it together into the future that the Lord Jesus is laying out before us these days. Let's pray together. God, our Father, we come before you once again in the name of Jesus, praying for ourselves in a sense. First, that we would be engaged in what you are doing in us and around us here at Bethesda, and what you would do through us, Lord. Help each of us to be responsive to your call, that still small voice, however it comes. And to work together and to work in partnership with others to bring you glory. Not because of who we are or what we have to offer, but merely because you have called us and you have equipped us by your Spirit to serve you in ways that glorify you and bring life to those around us. And we do pray for each one of our missionaries, Lord, wherever they are, whatever they're doing. We pray that you would continue to work through them, that you would provide for every one of their needs according to your riches and glory. We pray that you would continue to make us aware of our part in their ministries, and that each of us, them and us, would be marked by our dependence upon you and by our joyful service of the one true and living God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I thank you for those who began this church back in July of 1944 and the commitment that they made to you and to missions. And I pray, Lord, that in some way we might be able to emulate them, if not in the numbers, the percentages, then with the deliberation and the purpose and the joyful giving, because we have received all that we have from you. In Jesus' name, amen.